season of Epiphany. We're on the fourth Sunday of Epiphany, in fact, which means two things. First, it means that you should have your Christmas decorations down by now, because come on, it's nearly February. Now, second means that our scripture passages in the season of Epiphany have a specific purpose, and that purpose is to reveal something to us about who Jesus is. This is what Epiphany is about. It's about revealing Christ to us. And that is the case with our passage this morning, with much of Mark actually, is that we hear about the authority of who Jesus is. Now in our gospel passage, Christ's ministry is just beginning. He's going about the surrounding area. He's a traveling preacher at this point is what he is. He's got his disciples with him. He's a rabbi, so he's traveling around the countryside, and he's teaching and he's preaching. And on Sabbath days, he stops at synagogues, and he goes in almost like a guest preacher. And this is what he's doing on this particular Sabbath. He stopped at this synagogue, which is like a small little church, and he teaches and preaches. And the people are amazed by the authority that Jesus has, and they're amazed by his teaching. They're astounded by it, because he is not leaning on the authority of other people. He is preaching and teaching squarely with his own word, and his word, his voice, his mouth carries an authority that they just are not accustomed to. And as he's teaching in this synagogue, a shocking interruption occurs. In this very place where the word of God is held, and maybe in this synagogue they have a special closet where there's actual scrolls of the Old Testament. In this very place where the Lord is worshiped, where they pray to the Lord, where the word of God is taught and preached, where Jesus himself is giving his own word, a demon is found. An unclean spirit. That's what a demon is. In this place, the last place you would ever expect a demon to be, that is what is there. This enemy of God from the very beginning possesses a man and begins to talk to Christ. You can't understate the drama of this moment. It would be no different than myself standing up here and somebody walks in and they clearly have some demon possession within them. It would be an amazing, scary, frightful thing to happen, wouldn't it? This is what happens in this synagogue. And as Christ himself, the Son of God, the one who is present at the very creation of the world, is preaching, his enemy, his arch nemesis, sits there as well. And at stake is the very authority which Christ claims. Because this demon is basically claiming authority over two things. First, authority over the poor soul whom it possesses. This unclean spirit takes control, authority over this man's body. It takes authority over this man's mouth, causing him to say things that this man might not even remember. And it even speaks to Jesus on this occasion. And then it also seeks to take authority away from Christ, even as it speaks words that are essentially true. What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? The demon cries out through the mouth of the man. Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. In ancient times, it was believed that if you could name a person, if you could name them and identify them, you had some authority, some power over that person. And this is exactly what this demon is doing. He names this person. I know who you are. You are Jesus of Nazareth. You are the Holy One of God. What kind of battle have you come to do here with us? I know you're the Holy One of God. Have you come to destroy us? I claim authority over you. But Jesus, being the Son of God, flexes his muscles, and he commands the demon to be silent, and it never talks again. He commands the demon to come out of the man, and it does, and this man is free. Jesus flexes his muscle, he silences it, and the enemy of Christ is cast out. But demons aren't the only enemies of God that Scripture mentions. Paul mentions enemies twice in his letters. First, in the letter to Romans, Paul talks about sinners, you and I, as being enemies of God. In Philippians, he speaks of sinners, you and I, as being enemies of the cross. And as enemies of God, as enemies of the cross, even as people who are redeemed by Christ, we still have vestiges of that enemy nature, of people that stand opposed to Jesus, just as the demon stood opposed to Jesus. And so we still seek to claim authority that is not ours, that is above and beyond Christ. For example, the Lord commands you to treat your bodies in a certain way, to flee from sexual immorality, to treat your body as the very temple of God, which it is. The Holy Spirit resides in you. It is the Spirit's place to be. It's its dwelling place. We are to treat our bodies as that sacred place, and the Lord commands us. But often we say, no, that's my body. I'll treat it as I want. We claim that authority over Christ. The Lord also commands that our mouths be holy places, a holy thing that gives praise to the Lord. James talks about how our mouths are like the rudders of a great ship. Even though it's a small piece on a great big ship, whatever it does can steer the ship wherever it wants. The tongue is like a spark, and it can set a whole forest ablaze, says the Apostle James. The Lord commands that we do things and say things with our mouth, but we often say, no, I will say and speak how I wish. We claim this authority against God's own command. All that we have, our possessions, we will look at them and we'll treat ourselves as though we are kings over these possessions. Our house is our own little kingdom, our place in which we rule over. But the Lord tells us, no, I gave you these things. You are not a king. You are a servant entrusted to it. Everything about us, we seek over the authority over the Lord. And as so, we stand as enemies, just as this demon stood as an enemy to Christ. But fortunately, Jesus does something for you and I that he does not do for demons. In fact, he doesn't even do for angels. He doesn't cast you out. He doesn't silence you in this way. Instead, Romans tells us that even while you were an enemy of God, Christ reconciled you to God by the death of his Son, and that you are saved by the very life of Jesus. And this reconciliation was accomplished when Christ, the ultimate authority, which is almost the entire story of the Gospel of Mark, is this authority and this power of Jesus. You were reconciled to the Lord when this authoritative person gave up his authority, gave up his privilege, took on that of a servant, and went to the cross as a common criminal to die for you. When Christ submitted himself to death, that is when you and I became reconciled to God. And through his authoritative word then, and by the power of his cross, our sin is what is silenced. Our sin and the guilt of our sin is what is cast out. And instead, life is and peace is granted. And as that is cast out, Christ casts into you his Holy Spirit to dwell in you, to work in you, to strengthen you, to empower you to live more and be more as Christ would have you be, to be kind and not selfish, to build up in love instead of to tear down in sin. This is what Christ has done for